This is Mo Baustern talking to Sabin residents Cheyenne Rouhani and Claire Bollinger about an issue they're dealing with involving a huge sequoia tree that lives between their property and their direct neighbors to the south.
The issue is that the giant sequoia tree is doing foundation damage to our neighbor's home that was built in 1908. The house and the tree are probably roughly the same age. The home has been owned by our neighbor since 1996, when he pulled a permit to repair the foundation on the north side of the house. That work was never cleared by the city, and obviously the tree continued to grow and was never dealt with. So now we have a situation here where we have a house that has been condemned by the city to be uninhabitable because of the foundation damage. We have a very large giant sequoia tree, about 32 foot circumference, 9 foot diameter at breast height. So it's a pretty large tree, and it would be a significant removal process to remove the tree. And it would be quite a detriment to us and our family and our neighborhood, as well as the city. The city has asked the neighbor to put his house on temporary shoring because of the foundation damage and the instability of the house. We're just arguing that the financial benefits of preserving the tree are equal to the financial costs of moving the house to the other side of the lot. This has become a contentious issue. The city made a stipulated agreement with our neighbor without ever contacting us about the tree, which is shared property. And we are contesting that stipulated agreement because we were never contacted. We're asking the city to begin again with their cut notice. Currently, the cut notice is under appeal.
The cut notice is an order from the city to cut down the tree. Who pays for that?
Currently, the order that we've been served to remove the tree gives us 90 days to collaborate with our neighbor, which is another challenge. We don't have a very amenable relationship currently with our neighbor, and the city doesn't provide any mediation services in this type of contentious tree issue. So if we do not remove the tree in 90 days, according to this cut notice, which is currently under appeal, it's the city's responsibility to step in and remove the tree, which would be a significant operation, bringing a 100-ton crane, dropping the power lines to Whole Foods in our neighborhood 2 days in a row, hauling out about 100,000 pounds of mass out of our neighborhoods. About 6 semi-trucks worth of debris would have to be removed from our neighborhood. It's hard to imagine the city using taxpayer dollars to remove a tree that nobody in the neighborhood except one owner wants removed.
What does the city have to say about why they made that decision to just deal with the one neighbor?
That's actually one of the mysteries in this case, because the city says that they didn't know how to contact us. But we live next to the tree, and our neighbor doesn't live next to the tree. This is a rental property. So he lives about 15 blocks away. They were able to contact our neighbor, but not us, even though we live underneath the tree.
Noticed that there was a point in the process where you were left out, and your voice was not heard. And as a result, this tree that benefits the entire neighborhood and the whole city, really, it's such a huge tree. I would encourage people to come and visit it. Where can people come and see the tree?
If you come to the corner of 12th and Mason, northeast 12th and Mason, you can't miss it. It's a very large sequoia tree. We have a sign in our driveway. Currently, we're not encouraging people to come and touch the tree or hug the tree because of COVID. You can definitely admire it from the street. It's there for everyone to see.
In terms of communication with the city, we do feel like the city made an error in process, that we should have been involved in this process, that we should have had an opportunity to talk about this shared ownership of the tree and discuss all the non-removal options that we see, because we've been living here for a decade and we've been thinking about this for a long time and trying to communicate with our neighbor about this for a long time. So we have a Instagram account at Sequoia Standing. We have a website which actually links to our GoFundMe, which is sequoiastanding.org. But there you'll also find a lot of information about ways to contact the city. The mayor, Ted Wheeler, oversees both the Bureau of Development Services and Urban Forestry, which are the two departments of the city that are involved in this process. Communication with Ted Wheeler, it would certainly help to support our cause, as well as questions and comments to Urban Forestry and the Bureau of Development Services. This case number is 19205171. They are responding to people's questions and they are clearly paying attention. The more input, the more suggestions and ideas that the public is sharing really does make an impact on the city's thought process about this. And we're really hopeful that they'll reconsider during this time when this case is under appeal.
Currently, our GoFundMe goal is $10,000, and those funds are being used towards legal fees. It costs quite a bit to challenge these kind of things with the city. Unfortunately, that's just the cost of challenging an order like this from the city. We were surprised by it. We were just served this notice, you have 90 days to remove this tree. So we kind of had to scramble and put together some our resources in order to hire a lawyer and represent us and figure out how to push back on the city and exercise our rights as citizens and property owners. That's taxing on our resources and we need help. There's a $1,200 arborist assessment and review that we've already paid to argue that it's a healthy tree and that there are non-removal options.
There's fees such as applying for the administrative review for the city just to turn in that paperwork was $200. You know, with this COVID situation, we're not able to go to the city, so mailing the paperwork cost, you know, $30, where we normally could have just dropped it off. We also have needed a lot of public records, and applying for public records is actually quite costly. We have spent several hundred dollars.
$450.
Plus some $15 here and there to get those public records that we need so that we can even understand what happened since last August when the city initially started talking with the neighboring property owners, which we heard nothing about until we were served that notice in April.
You would be open to mediation?
100%.
And where are we at in the appeal process?
There are three steps to the appeal process. So it's in the first stage right now, which is the request for administrative review. This is the best opportunity right now for the city to make this right. We are just asking them to review their thought process as to how do they came to the decision that we should cut down this tree and share that cost with our neighbor. In the Title 11 tree code, which they're using to issue this notice, which they're saying basically the tree is too close to the house and therefore the tree must go. However, the house is uninhabitable and has been a nuisance house for years. And so there is a strong argument that the tree is not the problem, it's the house that's the problem. And since the house is currently on temporary shoring, moving the house is a really reasonable solution that could be considered a non-removal solution. The request for administrative review is what Urban Forestry is right now considering since we submitted that request on, I think, April 17th. We haven't heard word from the city as far as a decision yet, but seems like they must be thinking about it a lot. If they come back with an unfavorable result from that administrative review, then we have 10 days to appeal to basically the Urban Forestry Commission. It's in a quasi-judicial system, so it's a little more like a court, but still not quite like a court. And in that environment, hopefully we could again argue that these non-removal options should be more seriously considered. From what we've gathered, the city asked the property owner if they would be willing to move their house, and they said no. And they were like, okay, well, those are all the non-removal solutions that we're willing to consider. And they didn't decide to apply the pressure. They could have applied more pressure to that property owner as to how to explore those non-removal
options. So that sounds, this is a way that demonstrates how a pro-development mentality in a city affects people. And the city has recently said, I believe, that it has a lot of pride in its canopy.
Portland actually has these stated urban canopy goals. They have a goal of 33% coverage by 2030. Sabin is already a low canopy zone. This is one of only 20 trees over 95 feet tall in the entire Sabin neighborhood right now. The services that it provides to the neighborhood are significant in terms of stormwater mitigation, in terms of wind buffering, habitat, temperature control. Portland is also considered to be the fourth worst urban heat island in the nation. And large form trees like this giant sequoia are significant in mitigating that. So Portland has these stated urban canopy goals. They're saying that large form trees are extremely crucial to this. So it's absolutely confounding why they would be considering or demanding this removal at this time. Portland also has, of course, this housing crisis that is happening, and we would love to see housing next door, safe housing next door. Right now, as for in the past 3 years, we have an uninhabitable house. That house is now on temporary shoring.
Like there's no plumbing in the house.
Right, there's no plumbing, there's
yeah,
no
disconnected from all the
there's
services.
There's no power,
gas, power
there's
sewer.
No power, no sewer. It is literally off the ground. So we would love for Portland to really think about that those stated urban canopy goals, for them to also consider how to have safe housing. We do think that we live in a really creative city. People pride themselves on the joy of living in a town with wonderful trees, with creative people. So we just need to put those things together and make sure that we keep this tree standing, and those benefits will be seen for generations to come. Mm-hmm.
City's coming in mandating the removal of this tree. And there's probably a fear of people in Portland, like anybody listening might be like, well, can my neighbor get the city to come and put pressure on me to do this thing my neighbor's been trying to get me to do forever? What would you say to that?
This is a good example of how neighbor relations are really important. And if you're having a conflict with your neighbor, it's probably best to organize some kind of mediation or a third party to intersect you so that you don't find yourself in a situation where your neighbor or you are using the city as a mediator. If you're just looking at the code and the rules and the regulations, there are a lot of boxes that you have to check, and those boxes sometimes contradict one another. And this is something that we're running into right now, a challenge, is that it can really get caught up in a bureaucratic nightmare web. And so that's not really the way to solve complex problems. You need to get in the room with your neighbor.
I also think that this is a really unique situation for a lot of reasons. This is a very unique giant specimen tree, and it is a very unique housing situation next door. And because of the options available, this is not a clear one-step solution. So as property owners, yeah, we don't want the city mandating to us what happens, and we certainly recognize that it would be uncomfortable to be on the other side of it. However, there are a lot of solutions, and we're asking for a conversation, and that's really feels like it's as citizens something that should be allowed to everyone, and that hasn't happened right now.
Again, this is case number 19-205171-UF. If you want to call the city, you can reference that number. You can go to the website at sequoiastanding.org. That'll give you links to the Instagram and the GoFundMe. And you can visit the tree at 12th and Mason in Northeast Portland and look up. This has been Mo Boustern for KBOO News.